Well, this is a special Sunday for us as a church family. If this is your first time visiting with us, welcome. But you probably haven't then heard the announcements that we've been making the past several Sundays about today. This morning, we are kind of departing from our normal programming, and we're going to spend some time talking specifically about who we are as a church and some of what's important to us and some of where we're headed this coming year. So this right now, it's a bit of a family meeting, and then you know the meeting afterwards will be more of the budget and the numbers and that kind of thing. But let me just say this. Again, if you're just now joining us, you actually picked the perfect Sunday to visit because you're going to hear a little bit about who we are and kind of what makes us tick and where we're going. And so this is your chance. If you're considering Commonway as your church home, this should be helpful one way or the other. Think of it like a church speed date, I guess you could say. So, all right. So going back to before this church even launched out like this, so 2.5 years ago, before that, very early on, myself, the staff at the time, which was just Cliff, the worship leader, and I, that was it, two of us, we were lonely, the elder board and some of the other kind of core leadership, we started asking, you know, very early on, you know, what's God calling us to be? What's he calling us to do in launching this thing called Commonway? And so there's a lot of prayer, there's a lot of discussion, we believe discernment that went into that long before we actually opened up the doors. And then 2.5 years ago, you know, we started, and we honestly had no idea what was going to happen, just no clue. I mean, we hoped people would actually show up. That's helpful when you're starting a church, people. Liz, my wife, for some reason didn't want to just sit and listen to me preach, you know, alone, you know, in the chairs, so, which is... you know, terrible, right? So if you were here a couple of years ago, you know that we got off to a great start, that God provided for us in really amazing ways. You know, financial resources came in, volunteers got on board in different ministry areas. We grew, people got baptized, stories came in of the ways that God was working in people's lives. In short, God was doing something really cool. I mean, he was blessing this and really moving and doing a unique thing among us. And so we tried to respond to that the best we could. And the questions that a successful start raises, like, okay, where is this going? What shape is this going to take? We continue to ask those questions. Those aren't questions that you just ask once, answer, and put in a drawer and then never visit again, right? It's an ongoing thing, and it requires ongoing listening, prayerful attentiveness to God and where he's leading, responding to him. It's an ongoing part. It's an ongoing discernment process. And so we got to a place last year where the church elders, the elder board and I, we felt like it was time to take the next step in that discernment process. Because we now had some history together. We'd been together for a while. We had some corporate identity. We had some shape. We had some personality. And we felt like it was time to take the next step then in clarifying our mission, in really honing down what are our values, what makes us us, and where are we going? And so the elder board, which is the first six names on this list, along with the staff and a couple other leaders, we spent the second part of 2013 working on this. There were 12 of us total, and we would have included any spouses, but it would have made it too big to be effective. But let me just say this. This wasn't like Matt, you know, pick all his favorite people and get in like a secret room somewhere and then come up with a bunch of stuff and then announce it to everybody. This is what we've decided. These were the people that we had empowered and trusted to lead the church from before we even started, from the very beginning. And so we brought in a couple extra people, some leaders from within the church to help fill some kind of specialist roles on the team, things they had gifts and experience for. We found some self-guided materials. It was called Church Unique, and it was just a tool to help us in the process of clarifying some of this. We met for eight three-hour sessions and then some other meetings on top of that, and so it was a lot of meetings, and I just want to say that I so appreciate the elders and the staff and the leaders that were a part of this. And that was a lot of nights where those guys and women who they all have day jobs, you know. They didn't see their families those nights, and so it truly was, it wasn't glamorous work, it was an act of service, and I so appreciate their servant hearts and all of that. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but sometimes when you get groups of people together to talk about really non-volatile things like church identity and future and direction, sometimes that gets kind of ugly. I don't know, anybody? That like ego shows up and it just kind of goes off track. I was just so pleased, and I think this says a lot about the maturity and really the character of the leadership of our church. We just didn't have that. Did we always agree? No. Did we debate and push back? Absolutely. But in the end, we were able to say, this is the direction we sense God leading us in, and we're together. So you should feel good about that. Last preface thing, and I know there's a lot of prefacing, but this is really important. The goal in this process that we went through, you need to hear me say, it wasn't to come up with something like trendy or cool. It wasn't like we put a blank piece of paper up and we're like, what's the latest, greatest church strategy, like the hippest thing that we can come up with and then tell everybody because we've got the latest, greatest. One of the last things that Jesus said to his followers was, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. In other words, go make fully devoted followers of me, followers of Jesus. And so that's what all Christ followers, all churches, are to be about. And I suppose you can have groups of religious people doing other things than that, but if you're not doing that, if you're not doing the thing that Jesus himself said was at the center, then I'm not sure that you can call it a church. So you might be thinking, what else is there to talk about, right? We know the direction. We've got the mission. Why spend hours and hours having meetings to clarify, and don't we have it? It's pretty straightforward. What's the deal with this whole process? And to which I would say, absolutely, I know 100% what you're saying. But we also know that every church is unique in the expression of this mandate, in the expression of this commission. God gives local churches, just like he gives people, like individual thumbprints. And so if you just look around at the churches in this community, the vast majority of them would agree we're to make disciples, fully devoted disciples of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. We'd all agree on those things. But the way that shows up, the way that manifests, it's very different, isn't it? So same mission, different expression, because he gives us different gifts. He gives us different capacity and personalities and passions and leadership and all these things that go into shaping who we are uniquely as an expression of a local body of Christ. So the goal was really to identify, the goal was to articulate what God has already birthed in this church, what's already here. So let's start with our mission. Our mission is why we do what we're doing. What are we about? What's driving us? What's our purpose? This is the most important part in my mind because it drives everything else that we do. And for me, this is the part, and I've sat on this for several months now, but the part that's been by far the most energizing to me. I want to look at John chapter 1, a couple of verses here. Verse 43, it says, "The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip then went and found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" In other words, we found the one Scripture has been pointing to. We found the Messiah, Christ, the Lord. Verse 46, "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. I love this because Nathanael's like skeptical. You know, he's guarded. He's reluctant. "I don't know about Jesus. I don't know if I want to." Really? I mean, really, that's who he is? I'm not so sure. And Philip says to Nathanael, "Listen, you dummy. Let me tell you why I'm right and you're wrong. Listen to my argument." No. He just says, "Come and see. Come and see for yourself." Philip invites Nathanael, key word there, invite. You decide if Jesus is the real deal. You decide what, if anything, he means for your life for the world, which is exactly then what Nathanael goes and does. And then he ends up having this profound encounter with Jesus. And so here's our mission. Inviting people to find hope in Jesus. It's pretty simple, isn't it? We're here to invite people to find hope in Jesus. And this is what happens all throughout the Gospels. People have these encounters with the person of Jesus. And sometimes they're looking for something more. Other times they're just doing their thing, and it's just like out of the blue they have this moment, this unexpected encounter with Jesus. I mean, it's the woman at the well who's out, you know, away from the stairs and the judgment of her village and the people there, and she's getting water, and she has this unexpected encounter with Jesus. And it totally turns her life upside down. It's like tax collectors and sinners and all these people in the Gospels who almost half-jokingly said to Jesus, you wouldn't want to come to our house, you know, for dinner, like to people like us. And Jesus says, to their surprise, I'd love to. I'd love to. You have all these people from religious people like Nicodemus and some of the disciples and to the poor, to people with leprosy, the sick. They all found hope in Jesus. And the more that I've reflected on this, the more convinced I am that this is who we are, and this is what God is calling us to be about. This video just explains a little bit more about what this means. Is there anyone here who doesn't need hope? Something that we all need, something that we all kind of long for. I think hope, and what we mean by this encompasses our need to have a personal encounter with Jesus. That the risen Jesus means that he's present and that he wants to be active and moving in our lives, bringing transformation, bringing change. Hope also captures the fact that Jesus is doing things even more than just in our lives. It's bigger than just individual hearts, although that's very, very important. His ultimate goal is not only to redeem all of humanity, but all of broken, fallen creation, to make all things new, to bring people home, to bring life out of death. I mean, this is what Jesus is doing and the hope that he brings. And that means different things to different people. Hope for some of us is finding out that God is way more gracious than we ever imagined. That we're so caught up in what we've done and where we've been and, yeah, but God could never and he's surely upset with me. You know, all these things. And then we find out in Jesus that the welcome is always extended. He's constantly saying to us, welcome home. Welcome home. In Jesus, you're actually home before you even started. You're already home. You have to recognize who Jesus is and what he's done and receive that. Hope for other people is a cup of cold water, like literally, in Jesus' name. Hope for them is light getting into their darkness, causing darkness, their own personal darkness, to retreat a little bit further. That's hope for them. And you know what we say? Yes. Yes to all of that, because Jesus is doing all of it. That's what he's always been doing. And so we're here to invite people to find hope in Jesus wherever they need hope. Did you guys know that most people who aren't sure where they are with God, Jesus, faith, that kind of thing, most people who then show up at a place like this, like who actually drag themselves out of bed on a Sunday morning, did you know that the primary thing they're looking for initially is not necessarily theological truth? It's not what they're looking for. They're looking for hope. They're looking for another answer because what they've tried isn't necessarily working. They want to know, can my marriage be better than this? Is there a larger purpose to like my job and what I do 40, 50 hours a week? Is there anything more to life? And we know the only true hope the world has ever known is Jesus. It's Jesus. That's why we're here. And so we want to be a church. We want to be an environment where people can come and see. Like if you have questions about God, Jesus, the Bible, great. If you're not sure where you stand and you have some doubts, we actually expect that and we welcome that. If you've had a really bad church experience in the past, this church is not perfect, but you're welcome here. And we hope you have a different experience here. Just come and see. And by the way, not us, but the one that we're pointing to, Jesus. It's about him. And a lot of this invitation doesn't just happen on Sunday morning. It doesn't just happen here. It's wherever you go, wherever you spend your week, the places that you go, where you work, the interactions that you have on a weekly basis, and your love and your service for other people. So inviting people to have hope in Jesus. You know the thing that I really love about this? Guess who is a people? We're all people. I'm a people, you're a people, we're all people. And so one of the things that really resonates with me with this is not we're all saved insiders and our job is to go out and get all those people out there on the outside to come in here. We're all people. In other words, we are all in need of discovering and experiencing hope in Jesus on a regular basis. I need this personally, and perhaps you do as well. And so the beauty of this expression, I think, is that it applies to all of us. None of us are exempt from this. All right, you notice on your seat, you should have found a magnet. That's just a simple way of remembering. We exist to invite people to find hope in Jesus. So put this somewhere, preferably not on some stranger's car, but take it somewhere where you'll see it and you can be reminded of it. And our hope is that this just continues to work its way deep into who we are and our understanding of why we're here. All right, well, the next part is our values. And this is how we do everything that we're doing. What characterizes everything that we do? And so these are part of what make us distinct as a church. Our job here is not to say, how can we be like some other church? It's to say this, what DNA has God given us? And how can we uncover that? How can we articulate what makes us unique? Because God uses lots of different churches to reach different people. And so the challenge is clarifying what he's given us. And my hope with these five values is that you will find yourself resonating a bit with this. Because it should be identifying what's here, right? That you'll find yourself going, that's why I like this church. That's why I feel drawn to it. And something kind of clicks for me. And maybe not for everyone, but for me. Hopefully, that's the case. For each of the five values, we have just a tagline that explains it a little bit further. And then we also have a whole paragraph which gets into more detail. So let's walk through these. The first one is this. We value authentic relationships. We believe loving God means loving people. And here's the paragraph. Knowing more about Jesus doesn't necessarily translate to personal growth. It's how we apply that knowledge in our relationships that truly shapes who we are. Authentic relationships are the way we live out our faith. They're the way we challenge and are challenged, encourage and are encouraged, support and are supported. Together, we collectively learn and grow closer to God more than we ever could on our own. And so what this means is that while church programs are a really good thing, or they can be, they're the way that you bring structure and organization to large groups of people so we're not going in a million different directions. At the core of all that are relationships. That's what we've always been about. Relationships are how we grow in our faith. Relationships are that God works through people and our connections with each other. And so this value of relationship then informs everything that we do. It informs how we do children's ministry, how we structure our youth ministry. It informs our emphasis on small groups. It actually goes to the level of the leadership and how we make decisions and how we submit to each other in the discernment process. So authentic relationships are at the core. Number two, generous service. We're blessed to be a blessing. Generous service means giving your time and energy to reflect God's goodness. It's about investing in others because you recognize God has already invested so much in you. But get this, those served aren't the only ones who receive something good. When we give, we are filled with joy and meaning because we get to play a part in the story much bigger than our own. In other words, serving generously isn't something we have to do. It's something we're blessed to do. We didn't say it like this in the statement because we want to keep this simple, but it's the kingdom paradox, isn't it? That the only way your life expands and gets bigger is by letting it go. It's by giving it away. And we understand that we're part of a larger story that frees us from a scarcity mentality, that I have to guard my time, and I have to guard my resources, because the only way that like we really live and experience life is by letting it go and then trusting that what God gives us back in return is the greatest thing. Number three, our third value, biblical accountability. Truth does not have an expiration date. How does a book written so long ago still apply to our lives here and now? The simple answer is this. Truth doesn't have an expiration date. Although the cultural context and customs in the Bible have long since changed, the truth God speaks through it does not. It is as applicable as ever and keeps us accountable in our lives today. So the Bible mediates God's authority in our lives. We have work to do in many cases in figuring out how do the words of Scripture apply to our unique time and place, to our context today. But every single week, we open up Scripture together, don't we? We talk about what's this saying and what might God be wanting to do in our lives? How is he challenging us? Every week in our small groups, we open up Scripture. We go back to these passages and we figure out, we wrestle, how do we apply this stuff in our actual lives? So biblical accountability, our third value. Number four, shared grace. Grace is our common way. You think a church named Commonway would have attendees with a lot in common with each other? Nope. We're an eclectic group of students and professors, liberals and conservatives, both buttoned up and dressed down. Our commonality exists primarily in depending on God's transforming grace and then learning to share it with others. That is our common way. I love that, don't you? I love that. We really do have people across a variety of different spectrums with different perspectives here at this church, different life experiences. People who, if they really knew, might not even get along that well with each other. But it's just amazing who God has brought here. And we don't think that's something that we've done. We think that's something that the Spirit of God does. I mean, ever since the beginning of the church, you had rich and poor, Jew and Gentile, slave and free, gathering together in the name of Jesus. That's why they got together. This was one of the themes that came up a lot in this process. The idea that a lot of people here are comfortable inviting people who are in different places spiritually. They're kind of all over the map spiritually. That it feels, to many of us, like a safe place for people to explore, to ask questions. Yes, we challenge people every single week with Scripture. Remember the biblical accountability thing a minute ago? We do that every single week, but we hopefully do that in a way that is both thoughtful and thought-provoking, in a way that invites people into the conversation instead of just confirming all their suspicions and everything they hate about Christians. And so, whether you're a lifelong follower of Jesus, whether all this is brand new to you, whether you grew up like this and then you kind of went away, you went somewhere else for a while, and you're just now coming back, Commonway is a place of grace. And then number five, intentional discipleship, personal growth over church growth. Here's what I mean by that. Our success as a church isn't defined by how many seats are filled on Sunday mornings. It's defined by how the individuals in those seats are growing to be more like Jesus and trusting in the hope he provides. We are intentional about examining and growing in all aspects of our lives in response to the hope we've been given. We believe Jesus wants to actually change lives. Yes, he meets us where we are. Yes, he extends grace and mercy and just says, welcome home. He also, by the power of his Spirit working among us, wants to bring growth, wants to bring change. He wants to renew hearts and minds. He wants all of us to submit to him as Lord in every area of our lives. So those are the five values. The next part, these are our measures. And here's what this means. The measures are asking the question, okay, what does all this look like when we're successful? Like when this is like firing on all cylinders and seems to be working. And just so you have the right framework for this, this is asking the question, take random Bob or Susan who come to our church, some random individual, and they become a part of this community. And they're around, you know, for a year or two. They get plugged in. They get a part of a small group. They kind of fully engage in everything that we're doing. What do we hope to see in that person's life? Does that make sense? So we're not big numbers or percentages or anything like that. It's the person, the individual. What are the marks that transformation is taking place? That people are finding hope in Jesus, and that's resulting in life change. And so we have seven measures, and these aren't going to come up to everyone here all the time. These are more like things running in the background. Does that make sense? They're kind of the thing that we, as leadership, we go back to. I think about it in sermon planning, or we think about, Brian thinks about in leading the youth, or Jill with the children's ministry. Are we on the right track, and is there something we need to focus on in this season? Last thing about the seven measures, you can't hit all these all the time at the same time. You can't play all these notes at once. And so these are things that you focus on kind of in different seasons. But these are the beacons that keep kind of focusing our attention. Are we on the right track? Are we staying true to the mission God has given us? So real quick, these seven. Am I becoming more generous with my time, money, and possessions? And so from time to time, that means I, as the pastor, will kind of take the pulse of the congregation. Do we need to spend some time talking about generosity? Do we need to spend some time focusing on how when we serve, when we engage, when we give our time, that's one of the ways God brings transformation in our lives. So that's a very, very important question. Number two, am I developing and practicing habits to remain open to God, what he wants to teach me? This is the whole area of spiritual formation. That's kind of a scary phrase. And so just very simply, am I developing these habits? Not because I have to, not because things like prayer and scripture and a number of other things are like obligations and I have to keep jumping higher and higher to make God happy. No, these are gifts to us. And one of the ways that God brings life and energy to us is through our engagement in this process. And so are we doing this? That's one of our questions that we'll be asking. Along with that, am I maturing to reflect Christ-like qualities? These would be things like fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You know how you know if you're doing this? When you're under pressure. Like when things happen that you're not expecting and just sort of what comes out of you in that moment. So we're not talking, you know, behavior management, you know, 101. This is at a heart core level. Am I being changed? Is my character and my heart being changed so that when that stressor comes up or when that unexpected bad thing happens, I have patience. I wasn't even trying to have patience. And yet God is doing something in my heart. So that's my response. Number four, am I regularly and actively connected to other Christ followers? It's a huge part of what we believe God is calling us to do. You cannot live the Christian life alone. And so we'll bring this up from time to time and give you next steps, give you the opportunity to get connected with other Christ followers. Number five, do I view all aspects of my life as opportunities to honor God? See, we want people to see the connection between what they do as a homemaker or as a business person or teacher or whatever it is that you do. We want you to see the connection between that and the opportunity that you have to glorify God everywhere you are. That there are no second-class Christians. That we're all called to full-time ministry wherever we are. That's if we call ourselves Christians. And so we want people to make that connection between what they do with their whole life and that opportunity to honor and glorify God. Am I boldly seeking and investing in opportunities to invite people to find hope in Jesus? We want to make sure that other people get this. This isn't just about us. It's about reaching out and inviting others. And then lastly, am I developing a confidence in God's goodness, love, and grace in both joyful and difficult times? It's one thing when everything's going well, but when the bottom drops out and things fall apart, am I able to see God in that and to remain faithful and to have perspective that honors him in that? All right, the next part of this is our strategy. This is the plan that we are trying to put in place to help people take their next step. So when people show up at our church and get plugged in, they know kind of what we're asking and, you know, how do you move from one thing to the next? And so the goal of this is to take our mission, inviting people to find hope in Jesus and these values, and then to give people their next step. And so there's three parts of this, and by now there shouldn't be any huge surprises. First of all, we want people to discover God's story. And then secondly, we want to reflect hope. And third, share the journey. And I just want to tell you really quick what we mean by those. Discover God's story. I think a huge part of having hope is recognizing that you're a part of a story that's bigger than just your own. That history is, in fact, going somewhere, that God has a plan, and that you're right in the middle of that right now. And so God has gifted you for a purpose. He's called you. And so that's what we mean when we say discover God's story. We do that on Sunday morning as we gather and we worship together corporately. We examine scripture. We apply it to our lives. We're going to do that through other growth opportunities, seminars, studies, retreats. In this strategy, we really wanted to think a lot about how does somebody come from maybe no church background or they've never been here before, how do they show up and kind of become part of this community? Kind of like a front door to us as a church. And so in these different things, you'll see these opportunities. One of them would be a quarterly Connect event. And what we mean by that is just 4 times a year or so, just having a brief after church event where we walk through some of this and talk about who we are as a church and how people can get involved. And then the last thing on that list is an exploration study. And we're looking into different options. What we mean here is people who, you know, they've been to church, they'll kind of sit anonymously in the congregation, but they're not ready to maybe make that commitment, or they're not sure where they are in their faith, or they have questions. They're definitely not ready to go sit in a small group and, you know, discuss how the Bible applies to their lives. And so we thought it would be a good idea to have something on the front end that was a really safe environment for people just to be honest, to ask their questions, to hear, you know, perhaps some alternatives, some possibilities. And so we want to begin this year offering this, you know, 6 to 8 week exploration study of some kind. And again, we've got some different options that we're looking into with that. The second part is the reflect hope. This idea that wherever you are, you have the opportunity to give people a glimpse of the hope you have in Christ through your service, through your conversation, through your generosity, and so on. And so this is engaging in service, both on Sunday morning, that's an important part, and then the rest of the week, these other opportunities that we engage in. It's our all-church outreach opportunities. It's our small groups serving together as part of the life of the small group. And then thirdly, we want to share the journey. We, and you've probably picked up on this if you've been here any length of time, we want everyone to be a part of a small group. We want everyone to be sitting on a regular basis in a circle, not just in rows, looking at the backs of people's heads, in a circle, sharing life, doing life together, praying for each other, trying to apply scripture, you know, in practical ways to your lives, caring for one another. This is a really, really important part of who we sense God calling us to be. And so we want everyone here to be regularly engaged in a small group. With that, you've heard these announcements. Group Link is coming up on Friday, January 31st. This is simply the event where we form new groups. People show up and there's a crowd of people and you get to know some people and we literally start new groups right then. And we give you the materials that you need and we give you the training that you need and you'll be all set. So if you're looking to get connected to a small group, this is the best way to do that. In a church of 20 or 30 or 50 people, we can just look around and go, yeah, okay. But there's more people than that here, and so we have to have some organization. And we've done this before, and it worked really, really well. And so if you're a college student and you're looking to get in a small group, come to Group Link. If you're 110 years old and you're looking for a small group, come to Group Link. Just adults, all ages and stages of life. And so every other seat or so, you should have found an insert for Group Link. If you're interested, please fill this out, and then we'll have a chance at the end to collect these, and we'll be in touch with you about Group Link. And then small groups, and then all church social events as well. Here's the last part of this. This is our one-year horizon. This is asking the question, what's God calling us to focus on for the next year? Something really, really tangible, concrete, we can look at, and so we know we're kind of, this is what we're doing the next year. And so it's not going to be change the world, right? Because that's too big. It's not going to be make a kingdom impact, because what does that even mean, and how do you measure that, and how do you know you're doing it? So we wanted to be very concrete and tangible with this. And so over the next year, here's what it is. Our small groups are going to plan and carry out 3 community service projects. I know that doesn't sound like maybe a lot, but just imagine this. All the small groups that we have, each kind of dreaming about what they're passionate about and the needs that they're aware of. And it could be as simple as serving a neighbor. It could be as simple as doing something here at the church or the soup kitchen or whatever. But really owning that and rallying around that. And by the way, did you know that when you serve, you grow together as a group? Like one of the ways your group grows closest together is by just taking a risk and getting out of your comfort zone and serving someone that perhaps you've overlooked in the past or just getting involved in the community. And so we'll help you with ideas if you need them. We'll provide resources perhaps. Just let us know if that would be helpful. We know that not everybody is in a small group. We want everybody to be in a small group. We recognize no matter how many times we say it, for whatever reason, not everybody's going to do it. We're going to have other opportunities, but this is our main focus. Our 3 service projects on average for our small groups in 2014. We also want to begin gathering stories. One of the things that came as a result of this was the realization that things are happening. Our groups are doing this kind of thing. We gave our groups a $50 challenge back not too long ago, and the groups that wanted to do this had $50, and they got to basically come up with whatever they wanted to do to serve. And so groups did all kinds of different things. One group went down to the bus station and handed out McDonald's, like, what do you call them, breakfast sandwiches, and just gave them to people who wanted them and had conversations, offered to pray with people. My point is, there's all kinds of creative things that have happened and that are happening. We just need to do better at gathering the stories. We need to do better about finding out what's going on and making videos or putting people on stage or bringing small groups up just to give 1-2 minute updates on what it is they're doing. And so with this 1-year horizon, we also want to gather these stories and then find ways as part of our worship to share them, to bring glory to God and to say, look what God is doing in and through us. All right, that's a lot of material, right? I hope you guys are excited about this. For me, I feel just so much energy and enthusiasm on what God's doing and looking forward to this year. It's been an amazing journey the past 2.5 years, and in many ways it feels like we're just getting started. God keeps helping us take the next step and the next step. And who he's calling us to be. I want to invite Cliff and the band to come on up. We really wanted to make this as accessible as possible. There's bigger words that we could have used, right? Big fancy theological things we could have said. We wanted somebody who didn't have a lot of church background to be able to come in and to basically right away grasp what it is we're about and what it is we're doing. And I don't know if you noticed this, but we didn't really shy away from Jesus as the focus, right? That's kind of the main core part of who we are, and we say that very explicitly. You're not going to hear all this just today, like one time, and then it just disappears somewhere in a drawer. This permeates all of who we are, and so this will come up in different ways at different levels throughout the life of our church. You know, the really good news is that it's not our job to draw people to Jesus. It's not our job to change hearts, to change lives, to change our community. But that's what Jesus does. That's what he's been doing. He's pretty good at that. He's pretty good at it. He's been doing it for a while. Our job is just to follow him as closely as we know how. Our job is to honor him. Our job is with our words and our love and our action to reflect the hope that we've been given like a mirror to the rest of the world and invite people then to respond by worshiping God, by following him as the response back to God because of who he is and what he's done. Would you stand with me? And let's pray together. We're going to pray in just a second, and the ushers are going to come forward, and we'll receive our offering. And you can drop your group link inserts into that offering buckets, the connection cards. Hold on to your magnet. And if you have any questions about this, we'll have an opportunity for that at the church meeting here in just a little bit. Pray with me. Lord, we are just so grateful for your faithfulness to us as a church. Your provision, your guidance, it's just been amazing. And we don't take that for granted, even for a second. Lord, thank you for leading us and the elders and the staff and these leaders in this process. Lord, we trust that you're speaking to us, that you're guiding us. Lord, we believe that you have called us as a church for a reason, that you have a plan, that you want to use us in significant ways in this city and in the world even. So, Father, please help us to be obedient. Help us to be open and willing to respond by saying, yes, we're in. Lord, I pray that each one of us here who call this home, who call this their church, that we would just take this mission, that we're here to invite people to find hope in Jesus. That that would just go down to the core of who we are, and that everywhere we go, we would have that in mind. The people that we interact with, the opportunities we have to invite people here, the other opportunities that we have just to serve someone without a lot of attention in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us to do that everywhere. Lord, thank you for the hope that Jesus and only Jesus brings. It's in his strong name that we pray. Amen.